and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Natto with you on an absolutely, Anthony and Mormino and I were just talking off the air, glorious morning here in Saratoga Springs. Now we got a heck of a lot of rain overnight in the Capital District, the remnants of Hurricane Ida, and we wish everyone back in New Orleans, I know we've got a lot of friends there and racing people and all that, the best of luck. Hopefully everything worked out, but that kind of hit the Capital District and the city and that kind of stuff last night. So we're off the turf today. We're on a muddy main track to start. Anthony, I'll bring him in right now. I feel like we're in a good spot by first post. We just kind of turned around, looked at Clare Court. It's not the greatest measuring stick, but it doesn't look terrible back there. 3 hours, a little bit less than 3 hours to first post, and they do a phenomenal job out there with the main track. So I think sooner rather than later we'll be in a good spot. Scratches are not out yet. They have updated their website, and as I mentioned, it's a muddy main track right now. Bring in Anthony. Like I said, I think we're going to be in a good spot by opening.
Probably the only thing we're missing is the wind that people talk about, because it does not feel as if there's, if any, humidity in the air, and there's bright sunshine.
Yeah.
So wind is would be the only third component to truly intensify the drying out period. But as I said, just as a small anecdote, almost 2 hours ago, you know, I saw the John Deere's harrowing the track, which is pretty good. I mean, clearly they don't expect any rain because it's
a beautiful day out here.
It's
like
beautiful.
60 degrees right now. It's 54 degrees when we woke up this morning, but it's warming up. The sun
and the shot of the live of the racetrack is one of the most beautiful venues in America. And on a day like today, you got to be upbeat. I mean, a couple races will probably get hurt by the off the turf, but if you're by chance just lounging around today, this is the type of day you yearn for to come to the racetrack. You won't be tired by the end of the day. You know, the humidity and the heat's not going to knock you out. It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
So, as you know, this is the Gambler's Edition, and we're kind of a work in progress here. It happened a couple Thursdays ago because we were knocked off the turf today, and Anthony had a replay on the turf. But we've got a couple races intact. Then we're going to come back. Anthony's going to talk about some triples. And I think what we're going to end up doing, typically the third segment, we go over the pick five in the ABC format. We're going to scrap that in the hopes that we have scratches and we can look at some of these off the turf races a little more in depth. And then I believe, I'm still waiting to confirm, but around 10:50, Dan Collins of Bonaventure Stables is going to join us. They've got a couple in today, a great sponsor of ours and a great partnership. They've had a lot of success up here over the years. You've seen the commercial that has taken them to the Breeders' Cup as well. So hoping to get Dan live on the air a little bit later on. But we're going to get right into it because you have a couple replays to show. And the first one that we're going to show and bring up, we have no worries about staying intact. And I said it on the Handicappers Report. How good is Saratoga that on September the 2nd, we have 11 horses in a 9-furlong dirt race going, obviously, two turns at the end of the meet for $40,000 claimers. Tee this one up. We'll show the replay.
All right, we're going to be looking at, as I said, remembering that the Pimlico meet this year, I think, just ended the other day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just the other
They're
day.
They're at Timonium
yeah.
right now, the state fair.
Yes.
So we're going to be, you're going to be looking at, let's do it in the correct order. One thing I also want to say about the Handicappers Edition is it's so natural to have to think on your feet. That's a true component of the Handicappers version.
Point.
You know, you got to move and groove. You have to make adjustments. And so we had that Wicked Thursday where it was unbelievable, and today it's beautiful, but we're going to have to make changes. Right now, the race we're going to be, race 8 today, number 10 is the horse, 235, that I'm interested in. The video you're about to see is from Pimlico, July 21st, a two-turn race. You're going to be looking at number 2, and it's going to be easy to find me in the beginning towards the back because I think this is important. In tight early is what happens, and this horse has, I think, good tactical speed.
Harper's first ride.
So for
Sharp
him,
is going to lead. Harper's first ride. Trying to glide.
It's for. Oh, that's a little fast. I hope he runs this fast today, but I don't think he's going to. But I'm the pink horse that we'll get back to in a second. But what I'm saying is, you'll see the start is the hot pink silks post position 2. I think it is. Yes.
Off of the
and he gets
sweet.
And
it's first
disproportionately
ride. Sharp break.
There we go.
Tough for him because he loses position. And I think that subtlety right there, that sucks. That is not where you want to be at all. This is all bad. His chances of winning are bad. He's not Secretariat making the Preakness move on the turn. So we're going to try and get the position that we lost, maybe perhaps unnecessarily so. So we're going to go 3 wide on the turn, not dramatically rushing up, but they're going pretty good. This is all bad. And when you watch races long enough, I'm starting to clock in my head, when will number 2, 235, back up?
Back out of it.
How long can this offspring of Stay Thirsty stay in it? We already lost the race. We lost position early. We lost the race by moving up to get into this position. Now the leaders are starting to kick in. Well, I'm using energy for the second time. They're using energy for the first time. Now I'm really going at it. And I'm actually running better and longer than I thought. This is not a 2-5 favorite. This is a 5-1 shot. And quite frankly, at this point, all the distance I lost in the subtle start of the race, and here's one of the things I don't like about Pimlico.
Oh, yeah, the tightness.
Is
late.
The tightness yeah. of their lane. And, you know, thank you. That you can dump it because I don't think this is the best television. But we stayed in it for a mile. I've said it so many times that the first 100 yards of a race are so much more important than the final 100 yards, almost 100% of the time. And then you have to take in the idea that my guy wants to be up on the pace, which is why, you know, you don't want to do that. You gotta take your medicine in that spot.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not sitting on a grade 2 type of horse. How many runs do you think you're going
to
get?
They don't have the ability to make extended runs is what he's getting.
You know, when you're a better athlete,
you can,
you know, you can make 2 runs, maybe a third if you're exceptional, but you're not going to make the run on the first turn, get up there, and then stay back. So he stayed a mile. Everything went bad in the beginning. Now, the one thing I think is, I think, you know, that, and also I should point out, I didn't at first. I know I didn't. That was a $100,000 stakes race at Pimlico, which is pretty nice down there. So now I'm in claimer 40s. I'm out at post position 10, but I feel confident with the speed inside that I'm going to be able to get to a good place.
Over a little bit.
Yes. Yes. More comfortably than having to make really, I'd have to look it up, Brian, but I would suspect that move never works except Secretariat's Preakness. Well, he's Secretariat, but nobody else is. You know, so you rush up from last to first, not to first, but up inside, you got maybe half a move left, and you have 7.5 furlongs to run. I think we're in a good spot. We're dropping down. We're not going to get bet. David Cohen has the mount. I think there's some speed inside that will kind of make him closer, and then with one little good chirp, I think we can be the two path, hopefully, in the second flight. But the important thing is, having used far less energy, which helps in the end. And, you know, I can't stress it enough. I always laugh that before they built the stretch at Saratoga and they had the grandstand seats all the way up, you could almost see the original wave was at a racetrack when they would come around the turn and people would start to stand up as they went down the grandstand. And I'm like, well, the important part of the race is already over, folks. This is just sort of the march to the finish line. The important, you know, you saw...
The stewards at Santa Anita would disagree with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would. They would. Start is completely unimportant. Just jump on the horse. By the way, did you see the shared belief the other night?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
You know, you had to be impressed with Medina Spirit.
He was good.
He was good.
I thought they were going to go at him harder, though. I thought Johnny V got... I think we asked him, I'd be like, did you think it was... I thought he was going to be at his throat latch.
All right, that's fair, but he had to earn it.
He did have to earn it, but I thought it was really going to be like they did to Rinaldi the other day in the New York Red, in the West Point the other day.
Yeah. Medina's spirit's he's very reminiscent to me of California Chrome, and I don't say that performance-wise because California Chrome was a month and a half better. I say that because... You just can't root for the horse, but you should root for the horse.
I like that. I didn't know where you were going with that, but and what is funny was we're talking about that they ran a listed stakes race that goes to show you how
it was good to see Rock Your World run too.
Right, it was a great two, by the way. Forget listed stakes race. The shared belief is a great two, and what he's alluding to was Bayern killing shared belief at the start of the Breeders' Cup Classic and nothing getting done. Yeah. But back to Sunday night.
9:20 in the p.m. Sunday night.
That's good for me. It's a home run for me. Medina Spirit came back to the races, and I agree. I thought he ran. It's a two-turn mile race. There was competition in there, good competition. It was really a grade two race, and he was sharp. He was really sharp. It'd be interesting what Bob Baffert does with
PA Derby. You're awesome again, obviously. Now, the nightcap is going to it's going to stay intact because – you know, these are $40,000 maiden claimer New York breds. It is what it is. And the cool thing about your horse, which somehow should be a Seinfeld character, it's not, Sandor Clegane.
Yes.
Your replay is a dirt replay.
And I'm
on
number,
July 21st. Cue
and I'm number seven in the race you're going to watch. And ironically, we're number seven this afternoon. So it was an off-the-turfer, so you have to feel, I will say this. I feel strongly we're staying again. Dylan Davis gets the mount again, and let's roll it. Field of nine, we're post position five, but remember, it was an off the turf, and we're going to be saddle cloth number seven. We will not be hard to find. Why? Because Dylan Davis gets out. The turquoise in the black circle. There I am, just number seven on the outside of this three prong. Now it's a two-prong, now it's a one-prong, but I like the hand action, or almost lack of hand action, that I think my runner, the Offspring of Constitution, has speed without needing to show it. Then comes up not too wide on the turn. You got to live here. You know, only one horse gets inside. The winner is the one, I think, in here who looks good here and was probably 3-1. Yeah, Mommy's Jewel will not now goes outside, does the right thing. But my guy, and I think it's going to look less wet today by the time we get to the finale.
Oh, for sure.
But I like the speed that we showed in here. First time in for a tag. But most importantly for me, it was the first start of the year. So now he gets tired. He's chased the six. The six goes on. I'm done. Well, it was the first start. Ran pretty fast. I had the good early speed. And there's the winner.
Well, how about,
I expect improvement.
Well, how about what you're not alluding to? Of course, duels on the lead tires. Now the big L goes on.
Oh, I didn't even know.
First time Lasix.
Okay. I guess I got numb to that through the last 30 years or 25 years that we've had it.
Well, I think in this scenario, it's a big deal because you could surmise, certainly we don't know this, but quite possibly the horse bled, showed
right
high speed and stopped.
I don't surmise that, you know, 40 years ago when, you know, horse, it would almost be reported all the horse blood. I don't think it was really the first start of the year type thing.
Sure.
Early energy type and then just backs up and all the rest could be true. But I was not thinking that angle. I was thinking more of, well, you've been off all year. It's
right.
The first start of the year. This is what I expect a horse to do.
Right.
And I liked how far you carried it, and now we'll tee it up again.
And regardless, that speed's going to stay longer today.
That's my natural presumption.
Right.
You know, it's like that was a tightener in the old days, probably when, you know, trainer stats weren't reported so overtly in the racing form. You didn't mind taking a couple L's for a long-term process.
Sure.
And I like the speed this horse showed. I thought the type of speed that was natural and within himself, and hopefully that was the tightener. And we're down the road today at a big price with Dylan Davis in the finale.
All right, first break now on the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. When we come back, Anthony will spin these two replays into a couple tries, race 8 and race 10. Stay tuned. We're hoping to get scratches as well so we can do that. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades, just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Brian and Anthony with you. We don't know a lot right yet. We know right now the main track is muddy.
We are trying. I'm sure they're trying too in the office.
Yeah, we don't have scratches yet. We're optimistic in the next 20 minutes we'll have some and we can really focus a little bit better.
Just in case you're wondering, this is what Del Mar's summer meet is like.
They had rain out.
They had raindrops.
Didn't they? Yeah.
They had raindrops on Sunday.
Yeah.
Great call. But generally speaking, this
so we're off the turf today. We do know that. It's muddy right now.
Race.
Even the stakes race is off the turf. It's muddy right now. I'd like to think, if not by 1:05 in the p.m., certainly not long thereafter, we'll be working on a wet fast or maybe even a fast track. Certainly a good track.
I think
we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
There might be a race run on a fast race.
Yeah, maybe
track
see how
today.
It plays out first. Anyway. We showed two replays before we went to the break, and he's going to put them into tries now. This eighth race is awesome. I love this race.
Yes.
They got 11 horses. two turns, a mile and an eighth on the main track. It always was a mile. It was always on the main track. It's not an off the turfer. You showed a replay for 235. Spin it for the good people and make a try for them.
And one of the things to remember, as we've done here, and it worked out this way, and it was probably going to play out this way, that we're going to finish strongly in the black for these people. Now, one of the things I do is, and I did this for years on Channel 13's website, I like to make bets that I believe the average adult who comes to the racetrack has a bankroll of at least $60 to bet, because we've been trying to give you three at about a $24 cost before scratches. There's usually scratches. And for me, I'm usually uninterested if they're in my third slot scratches, because that's usually the all one, and I'm not. Right. I'm more concerned with the second one, obviously the first one that we had. Like last week, for example, on Wednesday, we got home two winners, the Rudy Ron race that we knew he would scratch out. He ended up being the favorite that he came back and replicated. But I just think, you know, when you do this type of thing, you're not going to bet $150 cold exactus. I wouldn't, you know, you're on your own to do that. But what I like is that 235 figures to be, I think, no matter what, a 14, 16, 18, or maybe even more than that. I think there's little chance I'm going to be $9. There's no way I'm $9 here.
This is a dead-on
so
money line.
So that's a very good start for me. Because remember, it only matters if I handicap well to score out. So, and I also like other horses that I think, like, if he shows the ticket, American Tattoo, who I think will be a price in here for Tyler Gaffione, coming out of a good effort. He's 8-1 on the morning line. Journeyman's 4.5-1 for Mike Maker.
Just first say, disregard race 7. That's the off the turf where it gets completely blown out of the water. We're looking at race 8 here.
Race 8. So we have the 10 on top. And underneath, I'm looking at Journeyman, who's 9-2. American Tattoo, who is 8-1. And then Candy Tycoon for Todd Pletcher, making the third start of the year. Won the comeback race at Monmouth. Went up to non-winners at 2 in for a tag straight this time. To me, this is my quintessential type of race to play into a trifecta. It's not quite the Breeders' Cup, but it's close. It's a large field size. That's paramount, in my opinion, to trifecta players. I have about a $14 or $16 horse. And I've said to Brian before in discussions of the pick five, not counting 2 weeks ago when 53% of the races were won by favorites, or Travers Day when we had...
For the entire week, by the
week,
way, right?
53% for a week of racing with inclement weather. And then on Travers Day, when if you didn't have the Martini horse in the first race, you were chasing chalk almost all day. That this could come back anywhere, and this is where I get tripped up because I'm thinking $2, but I'm the one who has to change. A trifecta between, say, $150 and $300. See, in my parlance, that's a $600 trifecta. But that's where I want to be day in and day out. And with a $14 horse on top in a big field, and I think $14 horses win almost twice a day.
Seth has them win three times a day.
And they're usually 10-1.
I think I saw him pop in the tent, so if he's listening
there. Better be an entourage behind him.
Yeah, they brought him in on their shoulders.
That's it, the old Caesar thing. After that performance on Sunday, slammed the door.
But right.
This is my favorite type of trifecta. I think I have a live horse who has little chance of getting bet lower than the morning line odds. I have a jock who knows how to win these two-turn races. If I remember correctly, David Cohen had Dak Daniels, who was the
that got you flush. Rolling, right?
So that was it. That guaranteed making
almost
seven,
got you out.
Got me out. I figured we'd bet 60 some odd dollars seven more times. If I go over, I finish in the black. Thanks to Robertino Diodoro and David Cohen, I think.
469.
I think he won by 8.
Yeah, I think that was like 469 on opening day, right? It was opening.
You
day.
Got
it.
Thursday. Everything you said was right.
Yeah.
The price and the.
All right. The 10th is a little more.
Well, yeah.
We're bobbing and weaving, but the replay Anthony showed of Sandor Clegon, I say that like that's how you pronounce it, was a dirt replay.
It's what I wrote down, Sandor Clegon.
And so Your
oh, I have Sandor Clegane. I think the A is long. Oh, okay. It doesn't matter.
Spin this one around for us, because I think this horse really plays now. Lasix on, as you mentioned, as
Ray
you show, the tightener. We love Ray and the job he does, so, one of the good guys. Go.
I just think he's, you know, he's a live player in here, and, you know, you kind of think the New York bred here, that this race is going to stay together. Now, watch it fall down to a field of seven or something. But,
I do not think that's in play.
You know, so I have a live horse at another 6-1 type of price, but a couple of horses I want to bring in here. Now, number three, Hot Doctor, I think he's staying in. I mean, you look at the career debut at Belmont, that was at 20-1 for Jeremiah Engelhart. Ran fourth. Joe Bravo, boy, do you see how Joe Bravo has had a very good meet at Del Mar?
And I saw the news, he's staying out there.
I would think that after this meet at Del Mar, he'd be happy to. Bo Brown is a horse that is key. He's the nine horse. Is a very strong play. Bo Brown, I was maybe thinking as a top pick because I love the second career start at 7/8, claimed by Mark Henning. Now, Quick Return was almost even money. Clear Humor was 2-1. Going 7/8 in the second career start, Mark Henning grabbed this horse. Bo Brown, he could have helped us out driving back from Belmont.
Well, Mark doesn't claim a lot of horses either. So every time I think of a solid trainer,
well, it looks making like two horses in 5 years.
Yeah, making a move like that, I think
his ROI.
I think it's pretty good. Yeah, so yeah. These stats are 5 years, right?
I think it's 5 years.
Right, either three or five. Yeah.
But and this is only the second claim. So he's driving, so I won't try and have a text conversation with him about the why or wherewithals. But Bo Brown, an offspring of Big Brown, is the key in here to me. I'll just throw this out. This is rare in our sport. A June foal, that's not when breeders want a horse to drop, makes him young the rest of his life. This is a three-year-old. Hot Doctor, I don't think we'll get that attractive price on Linda Rice's offspring of Freud. And Tom Morley's third time start of the six. But to me, this race is around the seven and the nine to really, really step this way up. That could be a $80 exacta. We'll see. But that's how I play. And one thing I wanted to say to our audience, that because the Breeders' Cup is the next time I'll see you, and it's the one day that I think you really let the rubber band off, you save for the year because it's worth it. That's why. It's not... It's because they've shown through the years, and whether I do something for the capital then, we don't know. But I will just let you know, the Breeders' Cup, my favorite play is a 2x5 by all trifecta. And there, because it's worth it, I make one ticket reversing my second place horses.
5x2?
Right.
Okay.
So generally speaking, and I, like I said, I like to make bets that I think just about every adult can make. Now, on that day, that's a completely different day. So generally speaking, you're in the neighborhood of about $200 a race.
I was going to ask you about that. So that's typically a $100 play one way for a dollar?
Mine are dollars. Just think that. And the one way, it's usually like, think about this. Maximum field size, 14. We used to almost always get it except in the distaff. But you get somewhere between 11 and 14 every race. So you're looking at about... And I'm thinking dollar tries. That's
right,
my kind
right.
of thing. So it's usually a 2x5x12. That's max. That's $96. So to swip, to make it a 5x2x12 is another 96. So you're basically at 192 cap maximum. And the other thing that I say is, my point is this for me personally, and it's worked out. I can only be rewarded if my handicapping is sharp. It doesn't have to be laser sharp, but it's got to be sharp. I'm basically saying within seven horses, I can get the winner. And my two most horses have to run first or second.
And so you're then, putting them both in first. And of the five in second, they are two of them.
It's a two and a five. Right, because the one guy. So it's really, betting-wise, it's a 2x4x12.
Okay.
For the bet. And my point is that, especially the Breeders' Cup, if the two horses you really like run big, maybe they don't win, you have to find a way to be rewarded. Now, if I have no idea about the winner, well, I'm supposed to lose. But if I'm close, and that's what I find. And so I save, and you save, and you make that play, and usually I bet them as soon as the windows go open. I only go when it's in warm weather sites so the track doesn't change. And I feel very comfortable, and you walk away, and you feel this way. You hit one of them.
And let's make sure that you give the best piece of advice you can give, especially since you're talking Breeders' Cup. You better use that all button. You do not, especially, we're talking about running third here, okay?
Everybody's
not talking about winning.
Everybody's in the pool.
Everybody is in the pool. When Skipaway wins the Classic by 9 lengths, it doesn't matter. Somebody can be a terrible third that nobody will remember at 80-1. I think it might have been Whiskey Wisdom. I don't know. I mean, just throwing that out there. It doesn't. We're not talking about winning. We're talking about being a terrible third that blows up your ticket. And do not try to be smart enough to save yourself $8.
The part where you're supposed to be smart enough is to go earn the $8 or $12 in July, August, September, or October. And I've said this before, I cannot afford it, but I'd like to get there someday. If you can't afford it, the trifecta, the superfecta play, which you got to bring a lot of money to the dance, is it. But that's it. No, it's the all button. That's mechanical. There's no thinking. Don't get cute.
All right, we'll take another break. I know Dan Collins is here at Bonaventure Stable warming up in the green room. We're going to get him on at 10:50. Scratches are not helping us right now. It's 10:37 in the a.m.
We pushed it as far as we could.
I swear I'm not texting friends. I'm just hitting refresh all morning. It's not happening yet. We're going to try when we come back. If nothing else, Anthony and I are pretty adept at just talking randomly. So regardless, maybe we'll look into some of these off-the-turf races and try to give some kind of opinion. We'll come back here, second break here on the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Wheels set on their way. End of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be Stein. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shoving. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shoving. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shoving Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop shoving Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
Monster chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Atto with you. We lost Anthony Marmino. A welcome in longtime friend and supporter of Capital OTB, Dan Collins of Bonaventure Stable. And Dan, winding through a summer in Saratoga, and as you kind of alluded to me off the air a little bit, a little trying with trying to get some turf horses in on the grass.
It is. We've had five scratches off the turf. I think we've only had five runners. So, you know, we've almost had more scratches than we've had runners.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. The weather gods are not my friend this year.
I know exactly what you mean. Before we get into actually the horses that one is going to run today, one we hope is going to run on Sunday, just give everybody a little idea of what Bonaventure Stables is. You've had a lot of success up here. We see the Breeders' Cup videos as well. Just talk a little bit about what's going on with the partnership.
So we're a small partnership. We typically have about 8 to 10 horses at any one time. Right now we're down to six because we've also had, in addition to the scratches off the turf, there's been a flurry of claims from us. So we've lost three horses this summer, and we'll be looking to kind of add to the stable.
Right.
But we've got about 80 different partners over the period of time. We started in 2005, and we've been pretty successful.
The tally is 11 years in a row with a win up here?
That's correct. We've had 11 wins in a row here at Saratoga, usually running only about 9 to 10 times during the meet, course of the meet, so we're pretty proud of that. We're challenged right now for this year because we've had a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth.
Yeah.
But we still need that win, and we've got quite a bit in front of us. So there's a few days left, but we've got about four runners, we hope.
And, you know, not to pump them up more than he needs to, but, you know, Dan, as he alluded to, they don't have 30 horses in the stable. So to win a race up here at Saratoga 11 years in a row is it's impressive, and I think it's a testament to the type of partnership you're putting together and the type of horses that you've had in the stable over that time.
Well, I appreciate that. We do have what I consider to be some pretty strong horses. We only add two to maybe three horses a year, so sometimes it's difficult to compete with the big boys. But we've been to the Breeders' Cup a couple times. We've won a series of allowance races here and some state bred stakes races. And we've got two two-year-olds this year that we're really high on.
And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a second, but before, now Clatta's Run was entered for the turf today in the opener. As we know, if you've been watching, we're off the turf today. She's going to come out, but we got a couple of videos of her because you said she's going to run on, hopefully run on Sunday.
We're re-entering today for the starter on Sunday.
So she won two back at Tampa. We're going to bring that up and show that video of her winning at Tampa. This was on You're Florida in the winter with some of these horses, hopefully.
We took Clotta's Run to Florida this winter, and it turned out she won 3 out of 4 races at Tampa for us, so she really turned around after what I'll call a series of second-itis last summer.
So kick and clear late, kind of as her style is, to come from behind a little bit. Ran her against a lot tougher in a 50 starter here on August 4th, and we'll bring that one up, too. She's putting her late run in again. She goes, I thought she ran very well to be fifth that day, beaten only 5 lengths, outrunning her odds of 17-1 in a really, really tough spot. Let's check that one up. Talk a little bit about this one, Dan. She kind of answered the bell a little bit in what was a whole heck of a lot tougher than a 2L at Tampa.
It is. It was. This was probably an allowance-level race with the quality of the horses that were in this race. She'd been off for well over a month, so it was a bit of a layoff in that part. She started a little late. She made a run. If the race had not been a mile, but it had been a mile and a 16th, she probably could have won the race. But, you know, she's ready to go, and we're just waiting for and hopeful for Sunday.
So what is the spot on Sunday? They'll draw those races today, later this afternoon. What can we expect to see with her on Sunday?
Well, I think on Sunday we've got to keep her closer because, again, Sunday's race is a starter allowance. So the field's a little tougher than what she would have faced today. But at the same time, it's also only a mile.
Right.
So we know that Manny Frankel's just going to have to get her into the race sooner than she's been in lately.
Looks like she's been in very good form. She's the type of horse that a partnership
loves to own because she's cashed a lot of checks for you. She's run very well. She answers the bell every time.
She competes in every race. And as you said, we've got three wins. I think we have 5 seconds and a couple thirds. And that's about 75% of the time she's in the money. So she does well for us.
Now, I would think you're extremely excited to debut Ocean's Reserve today in the six, New York bred, state bred, maiden special weight, 2-year-old. Is a 2-year-old colt by Spikestown that you paid $70,000 for as a 2-year-old in training. Talk a little bit about Ocean's Reserve. Also talk about, Dan, I mean, $70,000, I would think that's a pretty big number for the stable and the kind of horses you're buying at auction.
It is. We've been slowly increasing the value of the horses that we're purchasing in order to be competitive. Ocean's Reserve, $70,000 for a New York bred was a bit of a stretch for us.
Okay.
But we were very, very excited about him. We were hoping to keep him a little quieter than he was around here. He started to get a lot of notice. Mm-hmm. We expect really good things out of him. He's, as I said, a New York bred. He's registered for the New York bred Stallion Series and the Aspirin Stakes at Finger Lakes later this fall. So we have a lot of faith in him and a lot of strong expectations, and today will be his debut.
I see a slew of works here. How's he been training for this? I can tell you're quietly confident that he's going to run well today.
We are. He's worked very well from the gate. The rider has been telling us that he's been having a hard time keeping him to the half mile work, and that he just wants to go. He's extremely quick out of the gate, so I think we're going to have some fun with him.
And Joel Rosario name, so I can't imagine you'd put one of the top jocks here on at Saratoga if you didn't think your horse could run a little bit.
I think he thinks he can run pretty well because Leah Giamatti does not ride Joel very often, and he's on him.
Clatta's run with George Weaver. Ocean's Reserve with Leah Giamatti. Who are they the two, or do you have anyone else?
Those are the two for right now. Okay. We have another 2-year-old, Always Connected, out of Connect, who's with George Weaver.
Okay.
And we're going to be running back with George, our 4-year-old competitive saint.
Sure.
Hopefully
first
on
sprinter.
Closing day.
Okay. Dan, before we let you go, and thanks as always for stopping by and supporting Capital OTB as well. If someone wants to get involved with Bonaventure Stables, just give them an idea where they can do, if they can contact you, or how to go about it. As you said, 80 partners, I believe?
Roughly 80 partners, okay. But you know, each horse is its own partnership, so some of them don't overlap. But people can find us at bonaventurestables.com, or they can simply email me, and it's pretty much the same thing, bonaventurestables@yahoo.com.
All right, sounds good. And as you've seen with the commercials, you've taken these partners to racing's highest level, the Breeders' Cup. I mean, that had to be a heck of an exciting adventure.
The first time we went to the Breeders' Cup, you know, we were like kids in a candy store, but we also couldn't afford anything. We didn't know what we were doing, what was going on. We went back, thankfully, the second year with a different horse, and Summer Fun ran third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Sprint for us. And ESPN captured, who covered the races at the time, captured our partnership jumping up and down. You would have thought we had just won the Derby the way we were celebrating a third-place finish at the Breeders' Cup.
Well, I would, I mean, that's a huge deal. It's a huge accomplishment and a testament to, you know, what you're trying to put together.
Yeah, our horses are not overly expensive. You know, we spend in somewhere between $75,000 to $125,000 on a horse. And we think that that's the sweet spot. We can find horses that can win allowance races. They can win stakes races. And we can be competitive. And, you know, we're really not afraid of going against the big boys either.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's not a drop in the bucket. That can get you, as you alluded to, a serious horse. You're not just, you know, you're not looking at the bottom level or horses that maybe, you know, didn't scope out great or whatever. That's a sizable amount of money to get yourself a nice, talented young horse.
It is, and I did a survey, my own survey, unscientific, about a half a dozen years ago about where do the stakes runners come from. And, you know, you can spend $1 million, but the odds tell you the million-dollar horses aren't nearly as successful as those horses that are in that kind of 100 to 200 1,000 range. So that's where we try to concentrate.
All right, sounds good. Dan Collins, Bonaventure Stable, as he alluded to. You can find him, email him, check out the website. We've got the ads here throughout on Capital OTB. Dan, thanks for stopping by. Let's up that streak to 12, hopefully, before the end of the meet.
I hope so. We hope to see you in the winner's circle, right, Brian.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Dan Collins, Bonaventure Stable. That's going to wrap up the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. That's going to wrap up my summer across America. It's been fun. I thank everybody for taking the time to stopping by and showing up here where Dan's sitting live on the air, because it's a lot to ask. I understand it. It's, typically grade one Saturdays or Thursdays or Fridays in Saratoga. It's not easy to make the time to get over here. So I thank everybody for taking that time. It's really appreciated. And we can't do it without our guests. So, again, thanks so much to everybody. I will be back one more time on closing day on Monday. Thanks to Anthony Mormino, too, my longtime buddy, close friend, that, you know, we did this show together this year. And I'd like to think it was a pretty cool show. I mean, it was the Gambler Show on Thursday. It's something different. It's something we've never really done before. And I hope and think and pray that we maybe helped everybody unearth a few horses or maybe go about this game a little different. Or if, you know, you're a newcomer trying to get in the loop and try to take your handicapping and betting to another level, hopefully we maybe helped you down that path and gave you some ideas that can work. And if we did do that, that was the goal all along. So, again, thanks to everybody. I'll see you back here Monday. Best of luck today at Saratoga.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
To find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing, Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.